Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila Chapter 12, entitled The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple. Verse 81. Please repeat after me. Sarva bhoma kahe ami tarkika kubuddhi. Tomara prasade mora e sampat siddhi. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, I was simply a less intelligent logician. However, by your grace, I have received this opulence of perfection. Text 182.
Mahaprabhu bina keha nahi dayamaya. Ka kere garuda kore aiche kon haya.
But for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, who is so merciful? He has converted a crow into a garuda. Who could be so merciful?
Tarkika shringara sange bhu bhu kari. Se muke ebe sada kahi Krishna Hari. Tarkika shringara sange bhu bhu kari. Se muke ebe sada kahi Krishna kari.
In the association of the jackals of logic, I simply continued to bark a resounding bhu bhu. Now from the same mouth I am chanting the holy names Krishna and Hari. This is the verse we're repeating actually. Text 184.
Kan bahir muka tarkika shishya gana sange. Kane sanga shuddha samudra tarange. Kan bahir muka tarkika shishya gana sange. Kane sanga shuddha samudra tarange. Kan bahir muka tarkika shishya gana sange. Kahane sanga shuddha samudra tarange.
Muka tarkika shishya gana sange.
Kane sanga shuddha samudra tarange. Kahan bahir muka tarkika shishya gana sange. Kane sanga shuddha samudra tarange. Kahan bahir muka tarkika shishya gana sange.
Tane Sangha Shudha Samudra Tavange. Tan Bahir Mukha Tarkika Shishya Gana Sange. Tane Sangha Shudha Samudra Tavange. Kahan, whereas, Bahi Mukha, non-devotees, Tarkika, of logic, Shishyagana, disciples, Sange, with, Kahan, now, A, this, Sangha, association, Shudha, of nectar, Samudra, of the ocean, Tarange, in the waves.
For the translation of that verse, which is text 12, chapter 12, 184. Whereas I associated with the disciples of logic, all non-devotees, I am now merged in the waves of the nectarian ocean of the Association of Devotees. Please repeat. Whereas I associated with the disciples of logic, all non-devotees, I am now merged in the waves of the nectarian ocean of the Association of Devotees. The purport is, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains the words Bahir Mukha refers to a person who is very busy tasting material enjoyment. Such a person always poses himself as an enjoyer of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being attracted by the external opulence, the non-devotee always forgets his intimate relationship with Krishna. Such a person does not like the idea of becoming Krishna conscious. This is explained by Prahlad Maharaj 7:5:30. That's a famous verse. Matir na Krishna parto satova Ananta Gopir Vishito Sato Puna Puna Charitayanam. Most of us know the translation, at least to the last couple, the last line. Puna Puna Charitayanam. Oh, there's another verse there. Could you read that one? It's not in the book. Oh, the 31. Yeah, that's an important verse too. They must have added that after this book was. Do you want to read it then? Somebody wants. I have an older edition here. This one is. Materialists who are overly attracted to the material body, material world, material enjoyment, who cannot control their material senses, are carried to the darkest regions of material existence. Is it different there? Huh? I should continue? Such people cannot become Krishna conscious either by themselves nor by congregational effort. Such persons do not understand that the goal of life for a human being is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. A human life is especially meant for this purpose, and one has to go through all kinds of penances and austerities and set aside his private art, his propensity for sense gratification. Materialists always remain blind because they are always guided by blind rascals. A materialistic person considers himself free to act as he likes. He does not know that he is rigidly controlled by the stringent laws of nature, nor does he know that he has to transmigrate from one body to another and perpetually rot in material existence. Such rascals and foolish people are lured by the prayers of their foolish leaders for sense gratification, and they cannot understand what is meant by Krishna consciousness. The material world exists outside the spiritual sky, and a foolish materialist cannot estimate the extent of the material sky. What then can he know of the spiritual sky? Materialists simply believe their imperfect senses and do not take instructions from the revealed scriptures. According to the Vedic civilization, one has to see through the authority of the revealed scriptures, Shastra Chaksu. One should see everything through the medium of the Vedic literature. In this way, one can understand the difference between the spiritual world and the material world. If one is ignorant such instructions, if one ignores such instructions, he cannot be convinced of the existence of the spiritual because they have forgotten their spiritual identity. Materialists take the material world as all in all. They are therefore called Bahir Mukha. Om Agyana Timirandas Jajana. Anjana, so Jnana Anjana Salakaya, Chaksu Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Jayatam Surito Pangor, Mamamanda Matergati, Matsarva Sva Padambo Jo, Radha Madana Momano. Hare Krishna. So in this pastime here, we're getting a very nice insight to from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And of course, last week we had a lot about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But I thought we would mention a couple more things. How Srila Prabhupada, when he put together the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he put five different philosophical discussions. And one of those is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then, of course, he's also famous for his discussion on the Atmarama verse, which also takes up a large part of Sanatana Goswami's teachings, too. There's the Atmarama verse there. And then also, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he requested Lord Chaitanya to meet with Ramananda Roy, which also takes up another part. So that's three out of five teachings have Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya related to one specifically and the other two. And here he specifically, what I took from this, his mood has changed. He has a different attitude and he's more or less condemning his old condition of being a logician. And of course we understand Lord Chaitanya also mentioned, he says, if you're all inclined to logic and reason, kindly apply it to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So today I thought we would talk a little bit about the mercy. He got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And this is, he's kind of bathing in that that quality of that mercy. So for me, that's what I thought would be a nice point to bring up. And in the Bhagavad Gita 6:8, Prabhupada writes in the purport. Well, maybe I'll read the verse so we see what the purport's read. A person is said to be established in self-realization is called a yogi or a mystic when he's fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and one other point. What else is it? Acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it's pebble, stone, or gold, as the same. So that means he's not in duality anymore. So the first line of the purport I thought we would mention, since it goes to this, it says, book knowledge without realization of the supreme truth is useless. Okay. And then a second line, Prabhupada quotes, you notice Prabhupada, anytime he says something, right after that he quotes a verse to back up what he's saying, because that's the training that we get. It's Bhagavad Gita, what's it, 16, 17. The austerity of speech is to, in the purport, Prabhupada says, when you speak in Vedic circles, as soon as you say something, you always explain where it is in the Vedic scriptures to back it up. So he says, Atashri Krishna Namandi. So most of us know that verse. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his mentally contaminated senses. Only... Okay, thank you. Materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. So, one other thing was in. So, this realization we're discussing, and it's realization of the mercy is what the realization. Well, there's another verse that's popped into my mind. In 7:19, it says, after many, many births, one's actually wisely surrenders to Krishna. So, recognizing Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that Krishna is everything. But in the purport of that verse, Prabhupada points out that he recognizes Krishna's mercy is everything. So, Srila Prabhupada, he... as the years go by, I'm appreciating more and more the significance of Srila Prabhupada's purports. It's called his bhava artha, his mood of giving to us the exact understanding. Just like, for instance, the translation to Hare Krishna. Do you know how Prabhupada translates the translation to Hare Krishna? What does he say? Well, he says a couple different things, but one is, please engage me in your service. Isn't that how we've heard that? Oh, Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service. So, which part of Hare Krishna is please? So, this is also this bhava artha, which the bhava, the mood, he understands the mood and the essential element to be communicated. So in, I was thinking in 3:3 Bhagavad Gita, Supreme Personality of God had said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained to you, there's two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empiric, philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. So, in a purport, Prabhupada also mentions, this is kind of famous now, therefore both yogas are interdependent. as religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is a sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So these two points are, just like in the Bhagavad Gita, we learn so many principles. And in the Bhagavad Gita and the Sri Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see examples to understand it. A lot of times you give an idea, but then you explain it by an analogy or an example. So we know that Krishna consciousness means these six things that one understands. Do you remember that? I like to quote that verse since it's got one word six times in it. The other words I kind of know also, where it's Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva, sara, bhava tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva, are. So sara means essential element, and are, the last line, last verse, means that this also includes these things. So Krishna consciousness means understanding all six of these points. And as we study the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one can see that, and specifically understanding that in today's point about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it really stands out. So I was going to read, a couple things to actually understand this particular chapter. We're in chapter 12. Chapter 6 would be a prerequisite reading, and since we probably did it quite a while ago, because that was before the Ramananda Roy's chapters, probably years and years ago, I thought we would read a couple points from there. So it starts off with the first verse, naturally. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Gaurachandra, Supreme Person of Godhead, who converted the hard-hearted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the reservoir of all bad logic, into a great devotee. So everybody always likes the stories where, how did you become a devotee? Oh, I was, they always have the story. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we could just exclaim his credentials before it became. He was the person that would, the Bhattacharya is an honorific title of his accomplishments. So if you wanted to understand anything about philosophy, if you could have a teacher like, or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tutor you, you could be brought up to the highest understanding in the Mayavadi school, which, so in examining this story, well, maybe I'll read this couple more verses. Actually, the time goes by very quickly, but this whole chapter is incredible, and it's like 300 verses. So, it really, you can get so much from this one. But when the Bhattacharya, it comes on the scene where Lord Chaitanya goes ahead of his other persons in his party, and he goes to see Lord Jagannath. When he sees Lord Jagannath this time, he goes all the way into the temple and sees Lord Jagannath and passes out. Later on, he's given instructions, actually by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, don't go in anymore. So he stays at the Gurudastambha. But this time he went all the way in, and he sees Lord Jagannath, and he passes out, and the guards, the pujaris, they think he's like laying down. So they're getting ready to discipline him for that. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya comes, and he recognizes that he's exhibiting all ecstatic symptoms. And then this verse here, so the Bhattacharya, he takes a, because he's not breathing, so he takes a little cotton, and he noticed there is some movement, so he's hopeful. And he says, sitting beside Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thought, This is a transcendental, ecstatic transformation brought about by love of Krishna. So he understood all these things. He was extremely learned. So the next verse, I thought we would just read that for a moment. Upon seeing the signs of Suputya Sattvika, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately understood. I'm reading right now Madhya Lila chapter 6, text number 12. Okay. Understanding a transcendental ecstatic transformation in the body of Lord Chaitanya, such a sign takes place only in the bodies of eternally liberated devotees. So he understood that. Still, there's a very fascinating aspect of how the yoga maya is working with these Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya, and it's so instructive. I'm going to really try to get to that point. And the purport here is this Sudipatta Sattvika is explained as follows by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu mentions eight kinds of transcendental transformations in the body of advanced devotees. These are sometimes checked by the devotee. So this is an important point. Sometimes people say, how come the devotees aren't always manifesting? They're not rolling on the floor, speaking in tongues, different things I've heard devotees say. So here it says, these are sometimes checked by the devotee, and there are two stages of such checking, technically called, is it up there? So could someone read those words for me? Oop. And okay, the smoking stage is exhibited when only one or two transformations are slightly present and it's possible to conceal them. Okay, so there's one or two, you can conceal them. When more than two or three transcendental symptoms are manifested, it's still possible to conceal them, although with great difficulty. That stage is called lightened. When four or five symptoms are exhibited, the dita, blazing stage, has been reached. When five, six, or all eight symptoms are simultaneously manifest, that position is called Udipa, inflamed. And when all eight are multiplied 1,000 times and are all visible at once, the devotee is in this sadhitita, intense flame stage. The Nityasiddha Bhakta indicates the eternally liberated associate of the Lord. Such devotees enjoy the company of the Lord in four relations: servant, friend, parent, conjugal love, and lover. So he saw all these things, and he understood what they were. Still, he took them to his house, and this transformation. Now, there's one other element that takes place here. He's there, his brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, who's playing a very pivotal, significant position in this Leela, that he's talking to his Sarvabhauma, and he says, you know, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, okay, he's an advanced devotee, I'll give you that, but to say he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's a lot to say. So they have a conversation that goes back and forth. His disciples eagerly come, Sarvabhauma's disciples eagerly come and say, well, let's discuss this on the basis of scripture, which is the correct thing to do. So they discuss, well, there's Triyuga, that he only comes three times. So Gopinath Acharya is a wonderful devotee. He's explaining everything to him, but he's getting frustrated. Have you ever talked with a Mayavadi before? Generally, frustration is where it goes. You get more and more disturbed. They used to call it board jumping. If you defeat one argument, they go to another argument. because that's what they're trained in. And I had those verses too, but the time elements moved too quickly, that they're trained in this logic and reason, so they just go back and forth. So then the mercy was from Gopinath Acharya, out of his frustration, he starts, the inflection of his voice starts to get a little bit more intense, and he more or less says, unless you get a drop of mercy, you're not going to understand anything. And then Sarvabhauma says, now we're friends and relatives here. Let's keep it civil and everything. So you can tell that he was getting frustrated that he just couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. No matter how many good instructions you give, you don't get it if your heart doesn't change. So in noticing what Lord Chaitanya did, he did like four things in a row, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was unconscious in ecstasy. I call it like the knockout. In boxing, they give you combinations. You don't just do a jab, but you do a jab and then a hook and maybe uppercut. And there's a list of things that you get trained to do. So Lord Chaitanya, the first thing that he does after listening for 7 days without asking any question. Sarvabhauma was saying, what? Because it was so nice. Sarvabhauma asked Lord Chaitanya, he says, you're such an attractive young sannyasi. How will you ever maintain your vows? Now, I guess it's not a new thing that there's trouble doing that. He says, so his solution was that he should hear Vedanta philosophy. That'll give him a fighting chance against the material energy. So, Lord Chaitanya, he thought this was very nice. He's compassionate. He's an older person. He's trying to help out a young sannyasi. So Lord Chaitanya, just like Krishna, he always takes the best element out of whatever you're doing. Even though he could say, how can you're a householder, I'm a sannyasi, I'm the supreme person, I got it, you're my body. He doesn't do that. He just takes the essence of Bhavagraha. He takes your emotional content of what you're offering. So he was taking that. So after the 7 days was up, Lord Chaitanya more or less said to him that I understood the Vedanta Sutra. It was just your explanations that were like a cloud. And if you saw the movie, it was done in 1959, I think it's Nilatra Mahaprabhu or one of those Indian movies. There's thunder at that time. Boom! This is like a great, unusual circumstance for Sarvabhauma to hear someone saying, everything you're saying is just clouding the issue. He's the greatest scholar of the day. And he's so anyway, he says, oh, so what's your explanation? So Lord Chaitanya gives him the explanation, and that's step one. He's stunned. He's completely, like, stunned by this explanation. He's never heard anything like that. And, he explained how it's not your fault. You know, you listen to Shankaracharya. It's not his fault. He's an incarnation of Lord Shiva. It's not his fault. It was because they're all told to do this because of the situation, the Buddhist and the Vedas and everything. So while he's stunned, they go and they talk some more. It's wonderful Leela if you have the time to read it, about the Atmarama verse. So first, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gives 9 explanations, wonderful explanations. But then Lord Chaitanya, he, without touching these 9, I think he did another, was it 18 other explanations, without touching the original 9. And that was step 2. So first he's stunned. Now he's saying, Lord Chaitanya, I don't think he's human. Nobody can do that. So now he's stunned and tiltering a little bit. And next, after it goes on sometime after that, he shows him his sadbhuj, his different forms. He's actually Krishna, Lord Ram, he's seeing all these different forms coming from Lord Chaitanya. That's just about it. And then Lord Chaitanya embraces him, and that does it. He's on the mat. He falls unconscious in ecstatic love. So this special mercy that he got, why is it that he got that? From my observation, he got it because of Gopinathacharya. Gopinathacharya was Lord Chaitanya's intimate associate, and he was being frustrated, just like we know when Lord Chaitanya went to talk to Prakashananda Saraswati. It was Tapa Misra who had also requested him to do that. You know, so the mercy of the devotee is paramount, and we should never forget that. So every day, Yasya Prashada, Bhagavat Prashado, we try to understand that how everything that's happening to us, that's the auspicious part of Krishna consciousness, is simply by the mercy of trying to please, like Prabhupada trained, please engage me in your service. He's praying for us, for our advancement, is to try to please the spiritual master. And that point, that's because even if you're the greatest logician, it won't come together into the taste. And without the taste, what do they call that? The logic? They usually have an adverb in front of it or something, or adjective in front of it that explains what kind of logic it is. There's always a moisture reading in front of it. What kind of logic is it? Without any moisture, it's called
dry.
Dry, thank you. So it's dry. What does that, in that context, what does dry mean? How can words be dry or wet? You know, what are they talking about? What is the dryness of it? And here, it's called nectarian juice. So there's some other element. What are they referring to between dry and nectarian juice? What is that they're referring to? Anybody know? Anybody want to take a guess? Questions, answers, questions. Huh?
Low?
Prema. Okay. If you remember, I mentioned six items in that verse, the sara and are also. So what were those six things? The second line. Anybody remember the second line? Second line. Well, the first line was that, by the way, that was also talking to the Mayavadis. That was the return to Varnaris. Chapter 25, Madhya Lila, text 265, it says, the Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Prema Tattva, Sara. And then the last line was Bhava Tattva. And then what's Bhava produce? If you mix your Bhavas right, you can get a special substance. Rasa. That's how rasa's made up of different bhavas, and they list them. You got your vibhava, and then you mix a little bit of. They're waves in the ocean of nectar. Once you come out of the material nature, we went over that sometime, which is the sama, tadiksha, driti, dira. Once you're at the dira, that establishes one on the other side of Raj River, on the Shanta Ras. So, oh, there's that word. I was getting to that word. Ras. So, when you, the Bhava Tattva is understanding, once you're out of the material energy, your consciousness now is always in Krishna consciousness. So, because Krishna is the non-dual substance, Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, you're never separated anymore. The only, in duality, they added one into that, one more to the one. If everything is just one, what did they add to make it dual? Right? It says that Vasudeva Swarm, everything is one. Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, it's still one. It's just different angles of vision. But in the material world, they say there's two. Right? Born into duality, overcome by desire and hate, the delusion of duality. That was a clue. All right. Anyone catch it? The delusion of duality? Okay, it's still only one. The other one that makes it two is the delusion that there's another thing. That's called the illusion. So it's still only one, but in duality, you're seeing something separate from Krishna. So it manifests itself as opposed to being rasa, something to be used in the exchange of Krishna and you, which is always eternal relationship. It's never broken. You're seeing as something separate. So that other item that you're seeing isn't actually there in one sense. Okay, don't get technical with this. But the idea is that it's the illusion and it manifests as hot or cold. It manifests as all these other distractions that keeps your consciousness absorbed in the external energy. So once he had his heart changed, then everything, he could see everything as Krishna and Krishna's mercy. So one of the, another name for Krishna's mercy is prasadam. So there's a prasadam pastime too, where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was such a good sadhaka. I mean, he would follow, they're called smarta brahmins. They have all the rules and regulations, and nobody can follow them as good as the, I mean, they really follow everything because that's what they have. That's their connection is, and their hope. It's just their hearts, 2, 3, 24. Certainly that heart is steel frame. So when Lord Chaitanya, after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been changed, Lord Chaitanya to confirm and to have Sarvabhauma experience the realization of the soul. The soul is made, if you want to say what it's made up of, is Sat Chit Ananda. So the realization of Ananda is Ananda. Makes sense. So that's how one realizes himself is in Ananda. That's how he realized. That's, anyway, those words get funny there. So when Lord Chaitanya brought him some Mahaprasadam, he got to Sarvabhauma just when he was waking up. So you know when you wake up, first thing you got to do, besides your basins, is you go in, you clean yourself, your body up. And especially for smartas, they have, there's mantras for everything. So everything, you have all your different mantras, all your different akshmas, all your different things to do everything right. And when Lord Chaitanya came, he offered a Mahaprasadam, and he took it immediately. And Lord Chaitanya, he noticed that, and he commented on how wonderful this was, that now Mahaprasadam Govinde, there's a prayer that we have about the faith in Mahaprasadam. It should not be kept waiting. It should be honored immediately. So that was also more about that. So I think I'll stop there because of the time element, if there's questions or comments. And maybe I should read the verse again. Oh, yes, thank you.
Just a very simple, easy, detailed question. What you just mentioned, that what I noted down here, this interesting point that the more or less paraphrasing what I thought I heard you said was that the seeing of anything as separate from the absolute truth or the one spiritual substance, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, or one, that seeing anything as separate constitutes the imposition of a quote second element. Now, when we're talking about this second element, is that in the, are you referring to the that vitya, that vayam vitya bhiriveshitasyat, isadapatesa vipariyo smriti, that famous verse in 11th canto that fear arises when one has a misconception, he thinks of himself as matter or the enjoyer of matter instead
that's
of seeing oneself
nice.
As servant of the Lord.
Now that's your contribution. No, that's very nice. I was thinking of, well, there's 6431, Or is it no? Let me offer my obeisances to those who argue amongst themselves and never come to the rightful conclusion. But for your particular, I was actually thinking
the philosophers who speculate, forgetting their own selves, they sometimes agree and sometimes disagree with one another, all due to the illusory energy of the Lord, forgetting their own selves. So you're thinking of that as...
I'm just curious about the 720. Yeah. I was thinking of 727. I think I quoted one or two words from that.
Vesha Samutinar.
Ah, the scholars. Oh, button.
Sarvabhutani Samoham. Sargi.
Oh, yeah, that's the verse.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. Born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities that arise from desire and hate. So the, because it mentions you're overcome by this, and it was more or less how I've noticed that if it actually is only one, so what is the thing that's there that's making it two is the idea that I think there's something two, because it's a subjective imposition that's imposed on us. But it's not really there absolutely. For Krishna, he's never under the cloud. We're under the cloud.
Prabhupada, sometimes he would say, we're really the real monists. You know, monists not only refer to Mayavadi personalists, but Vaishnavas, we're actually the real monists because we understand how everything is related to the absolute truth, to Krishna.
And that's our teaching, Etavad Eva Jignatvam, that one should learn, one who's searching out the absolute truth should search it out up to this. So connect everything up to Krishna, the personality of Krishna. Because he says, I was there before the creation, so you know, I'm not under the creation, I was there before. And the second one is if it has any value, if you want to put any value on anything, ritavitam napatieta napatieta chapani, that you have to have it in relationship with me. Your sambandha has to be there. And the third one is actually a little mystical. You know, I am everything, at the same time I'm not everything. So if you want me to be not there, then I can be not there. But like I'm very far away and I'm very near as well. But the third one is I enter into everything at the same time I don't enter into everything. But if you know the secret, the Etavad, Eva Jignatvam, the secret of yuktaizing it in Krishna's service, utilizing it, and yukta, vairagya, using it in Krishna's service, then it's possible for the juice to flow even in this material world. And if you think about that, I had this wonderful thought about it one time on the fifth line of Gayatri, where it talks about Vishrambraya, is it? Lord Chaitanya as the maintainer of the universe, to meditate on that. And I was thinking that it's not Vishnu in there, it's Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya has a particular mood. And what Prabhupada is doing, he's giving the value to this creation for Krishna, because right now, just like in the third canto, it says, the devotees speak very favorably to me in my deity form. They offer their prayers, they say very nice things about me. So the whole purpose of this, of a prison house, is not to a place to go, it's a place to come back from. And I was thinking also, this word please, I was going to mention, in a prison house, if the prisoner says, I'm going to learn all the rules, I'm going to get like a lawyer, he learns all the different ideas on how to get out, I'm going to get out on my own. But if the governor comes in and he's pleased with him and he sees a different attitude, he can let him out. So the ascending and the descending process, the ascending, the logicians, they have a mentality. I was going to connect this up with the sentiment and the philosopher, those the the fanatic. So the sentiment, because these are two things that also affect us. We can have some sentiments too early and not have enough knowledge. And then you see that the sahajas can come out of that, where they're trying to be more sentimental than they are advanced in their adhikari. And then the other group is those who memorize, who try to approach Krishna by the power of their memory of different aspects of the philosophy without really tasting what that's for. But that's all good and well, but the point that I was trying to make is the mercy of doing it to please Prabhupada, to get the mercy, to not leave out the element of acting with the mentality to please the spiritual master. You know, so anything that you do, no matter, like Sarvabhauma, he could do everything right. I mean, as far as a lot of other people can follow, they can do everything better than most devotees can do. We don't do so many things just right. But if that mood of trying to please, and that's, of course, when Prabhupada went back to India, they saw the devotees were so ecstatic, and there's the different commentaries. I think it was Dr. Robin? Anyway, he used to be part of the early group. One of the doctors was always saying how wonderful. He could never understand how the devotees could be so enthusiastic with such little bit of knowledge. Hopkins, maybe? And he said when he met Prabhupada, then everything made sense. You could see that, because just trying to please the spiritual master puts you in the elevator for making advancement, which is such a unique feature. And we can see other times, especially as the years go by, that many, many great scholars in the movement even get to a certain point and they, without recognizing that their whole Punamushaka Bhava, their whole mercies were held up by Prabhupada's mercy, and always be trying to act in the simplest way just to please Krishna more so than all my acquired abilities. Is that all right? I think. Thank you for helping me remember that point. Did you think that was all right, the idea that the second element added to the one element is illusion?
I also found it compatible with that 11th canto verse.
Oh, that was wonderful. Yeah, I'd like to get that from you. Check I need to look at it again.
So we shouldn't condemn ourselves to trying to taste the honey by looking outside the body.
The jar.
You have to actually get some real taste.
Well, realization is such an incredible concept, because it's not mental. It's the reciprocation. It's like a relish. Relish isn't one-sided. There's an exchange that's going on. Krishna's the juice. And unless the juice is coming voluntarily from Krishna, you can't force Krishna. Well, maybe Mother Yasoda, but Ajita Jito, he becomes conquered by this Bhagavatam. For those who have dedicated their lives to these narrations, even remain 10:14:3, that he does become conquered, but it's that quality of Krishna that's the spiritual quality, Satchidananda. And the simple example I always like to use is, if you touch ice, you feel heat. I mean, ice, you feel cold. Fire, you feel hot. You touch Krishna, you feel Satchidananda. So is that Ananda you're feeling? Is that Krishna or is it you? Time's up. Alrighty. Thank you very much. Glory to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.